Go over to Matthew 28, verse 1. This is the same place Gabe read to us at the first prayer meeting this morning. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Pages are turning. The phones are going there. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28:1. You ready? Praise God. After the Sabbath day at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. That's what I'm going to do when I see him face to face. Right now I just do it in the spirit by lifting my hands and saying, this means I'm in covenant. That's what that means. These are yods in Hebrew. And when you raise your hand, that's yada. I'm praising the Lord. You're recognizing that he's in his position is an upper realm in your life. He's not here as a pedestrian, although he has shown up in this very church. Praise the Lord. Maybe too hard for somebody, but you should have been here. Okay, now. So, church, the resurrection of Jesus is the greatest event that ever took place in the spirit realm or the natural realm. It's the greatest event, and we need to really realize that. Satan is defeated. Jesus is victorious. And he's an example to every one of us, because now we're overcomers. We're masters of circumstances and all demonical forces. We are totally masters over any satanic force. Christ arose in full stature of the Godhead in the presence of his adversary. Praise God for that. Praise God. The resurrection is the heart of the gospel. It's the heart of the gospel. And you know, I think a lot of people focus on the cross, and we do need to look at the cross. Absolutely. Absolutely. We certainly need to remember the horrific price that was paid. Jesus suffered. He was beaten. He was spit on. They pulled his beard out. They just cursed him and rejected him and all kinds of sarcastic action toward him. They crucified him and he died. Amen. But we all know that he did every bit of this for us. He suffered wounds for us. He bled for us. He died for us. Yes. His crucifixion was public, painful punishment. It was planned from the foundation of the world. But most of all, it was precious. Why was it precious? Because it was pure. He had never sinned. Yet at this moment, he took on the sins of the whole world and paid the price for every sin that was ever committed and every sin that ever will be committed. He paid for the iniquities. He paid for sickness. He paid for it all. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his death, his burial, his resurrection. And he made a show of them in the presence of hell. I mean, he blew that place up. Amen. You know, the word says in Isaiah 53, you know what it says. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the inner passed down type sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but by his stripes we were healed. We are healed. That's a real truth that people overlook. They say, well, he just healed spiritually. No, no, no. He took wounds on his back. It opened the blood portal. The blood poured out to take care of your body. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And he went through all of that for you and me, and he paid for our wholeness here on earth and then future heaven, of course. But we can't leave Jesus on the cross. As I said, the resurrection is at the heart of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, if there was no resurrection, then we really don't have a gospel. If Jesus didn't resurrect, and really a person's not really born again if they don't believe in the resurrection, because our very verse that teaches us, Romans 10:9, it says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice it didn't say if you confess that Jesus was hung on the cross and crucified, you'll be saved. It said if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Praise the Lord. Here's the truth, church. Romans 4:25 says this. Talk about Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again, listen to this, for our justification. This is something maybe you haven't thought about. Let me give you a Passion Translation. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back up to life to prove that he made us right with God. Now, I want you to walk with me just a little bit on this. Make sure you get this. If you don't get anything else I say, pick this up today. It's your six-second soundbite here. When you ask Christians about justification, they move straight to the cross of Jesus, how he paid the price for our sins, right? Mm-hmm. But if justification simply means the absence of guilt, then we have a blank slate and we have to spend the rest of our lives worrying about whether we're going to mess it up again. Did you get that? See, if you just go to the cross and you just see it getting paid for right there, then you see it paid for up to there. But listen, Paul tells us the contrary. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. He was delivered for the trespasses, but he was raised for the justification. What this means is that Jesus rose again. When he rose again, he was declared to be righteous, was he? But just lacking sin, but embodying holiness. Okay? So the credit of Jesus' perfection outweighs the debt of our sins. And now the Christian is counted righteous. Not just as I never sinned, come walk with me now, not just as I never sinned, but just as I've already lived a holy life. Come on, take another step up. You're living right now just like you've never messed up. Well, I sure don't feel that way. That's why I'm trying to get this over to you today. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you do something that is wrong, it bounces off that spirit on the inside. It can't get in there. Thought that might help you a little bit. You mean to tell me that I don't, once I get saved, I don't have to work for God's approval? Nope. My son and my grandchild haven't spent one day working for my approval for what they do. I just approve. They're my kids. I love them. You're my kids. I love you. Just like you are. We're not looking for approval. God's not looking for you to just shape up. You know the old saying, well, if I go to church, you know, the roof might cave in. Well, it would have caved in a long time ago, the day we all walked in then. We have to understand that we're living just as if I've always been holy. Just as if Adam had never failed. That's how we're living. Glory to God. That's how we're living right now. As if nothing ever happened. You need to get used to that. Yeah, you make mistakes, and what do? You go to the Father. But it's not counted against you, and it's not part of the love package. He's just moving you on, I'm telling you. You need to receive that. Today we should focus on the resurrection and what it's done for us. I'm telling you. See, without this wonderful truth, we're not going to fully grasp the joy of salvation. Jesus was our obedience substitute during his life. He was our punishment substitute at his death, and our rebirth substitute at the resurrection. Amen? We need to focus on the resurrection. And I want to just mention a few things to you. The resurrection is absolutely at the center of Christianity. Hey, everybody from Orthodox to Catholic to Pentecostal to Reformed Baptist, Word of Faith, whatever everybody is these days, there's one truth that we all believe. The tomb is empty. The tomb is, we may not agree on many other things, but we do agree on this. That's why the city we all met for a Good Friday meeting, all the churches met together. How could we do that? There's some people who don't even believe in playing instruments, but they came.
Yeah. Praise God.
Nobody threw anything at us when we raised our hands. And we didn't holy roll out there for them either. I'm kidding. Nobody was shouting in tongues out there, hurting the Baptist ears or anything. We all came together because we believe the tomb's empty and because we believe in the love of Jesus. Everything else can be put away when we're out there doing that. Amen. As Mr. Allen said, he said we were there for unity purposes. Amen. You may not approve of everything everybody's done about their behavior, but you sure do love them. Amen. And I'm sure they feel the same way about all of us. So without the resurrection, there really would be no church at all. The resurrection purchased our justification. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. You need to start from there. You don't need to start from that you're a nobody and maybe God might listen to you. If you're a born-again believer, you're righteous. You start from there. When I started my life, I was an Alexander. That's who I was. And so I'm always going to be an Alexander. I have Alexander blood. Right? That's who I am. I'm now in Christ, and I'm always going to be in Christ. Always going to be in Christ. That's who I am. That's who I am. The Bible says I am the righteousness. That means I'm in right standing with my Father. You are. He'll correct you if he needs to. But you're in right standing with him. Amen. The resurrection gives us the joy of knowing that Christ is with us today. Praise the Lord. That's good. See, he promised that he'd be with us to the end of time. This changes everything because, church, a dead hero is no help to us. But a hero who is alive, glory to God. That gives us great confidence. We should be so confident that we have a God who won't fail us. See, I can just hear someone thinking, well, he sure has failed me. No, he didn't do that. That's not on his side. See, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff. Y'all knew I have to go here today. God gets blamed for a lot of stuff he didn't do. The insurance company says he's the tornado person and all that. I'm telling you, he's not. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and life more abundant. Do not err, my beloved brethren. God will not tempt and he cannot be tempted. He is the Father of lights who gives good and perfect gifts to us all. Stop blaming him for killing people. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't cause car wrecks. He didn't cause your divorce. He didn't cause your drug whatever addiction. He didn't cause any of that. He didn't cause your time in jail. I know people who, you know, we've been in the prison ministry for as long as we've been a church. Brother Ron heads that up. And many of us have been on the team. But I've heard people go in there and say, now God put you in here. No, you put you in there.
That's right.
God didn't put you in there. That was your choice. And where you are today is your choice. But I tell you what, if you make Jesus your choice and you let Him be the, not just your Savior, but the Lord of your life, you'll start making good choices. You're just a product of who you are, what you've been doing, the choices you've been making, and many times the choices of other people. But we have the overcoming power when it comes to all of that. Amen. The resurrection gives us hope beyond the grave. You know, we live in a broken world, but every Christian at some point, and every Christian at some point, you're going to experience the pain of grieving for a loved one who goes to heaven. But I want you to remember what Paul said. Now, this is Bible, church. This is not the Word of Faith or me and Nancy Dufresne and Brother Copeland. You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what the Apostle Paul said. He said, we do not grieve as others who have no hope. It's not the same. It's not saying not being sad. It's not saying you don't cry. It's not saying you don't have to walk through something. But you don't grieve the same way other people grieve. That's why I don't like to use the word. Because grieving to me sounds like a loyalty to the dead person. Or they're actually not dead if they went to heaven. You're going to be back there with them before you know it. So we have hope.
Yep.
My mom went to heaven, gosh, 30-something years ago. I've been a semi-orphan, except God's my father. My parents have been in heaven for like 30 or 40 years, I guess, on Easter.
Yeah.
And I know exactly where they are.
That's right.
And we're going to have a great rejoicing. And I hope Jesus is letting Mom cook, because I really want to eat her Thanksgiving dinners again. Deb says, and her dumplings. My mom was the best cook. Sissy's got that anointing on her too. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm telling you, we don't grieve like other people. Or you don't have to. Because you know where you're going. Heaven is real. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's scripture after scripture after scripture telling us that heaven is real. It's in another dimension. It's in another planet place. But it's real. And you're not some little floaty cloud Casper. I'm getting ahead of my sermon now. I'll get there in a minute. The resurrection unites every Christian with the life-giving force that raised Jesus from the dead. This is so important that we get this. According to Ephesians 1:19 through 20, he said, he's praying for us, the Apostle Paul's praying for us. He said, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us? This power is toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, and he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You have that same power toward you. In fact, you have it in you. The resurrection power is in you. It's toward you. It's on you. If you want to.
Amen.
Amen. It's through the resurrection that the last man, Adam, became a living spirit. And Paul tells us the spirit of the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So right now, that same spirit, that same resurrection power is wall to wall in you.
Yes.
Think about that. Well, you know, we hear this every Easter. It's a lot more important than just hearing every Easter.
Amen.
You are full of life-giving power.
Yes.
You don't even realize how bright and shiny you are. Deb went to Dallas and she was getting gas yesterday, and she came home and told me that she was getting gas, and that some boy walked up to her and said, ma'am, you're just so bright and pretty, I wouldn't mind dating you. Huh? He was 40. So, you know, Deb's not 40. But I mean, how about that? You know, what's he seeing? I mean, Deb's gorgeous, of course, but it's the brightness of God. I mean, we were at the convention just maybe 10 years ago when Deb was less than she is now. And the guy in, what's that place? Razoo's came up, an 18-year-old boy came up hitting on Deb. This is not part of my sermon. Let's go. Actually, it is, because let me tell you, people are attracted to you for a reason, because you have the life of God on the inside of you. You are all beautiful people on the outside as well. I'm not saying anything about that, but I am saying there's more than that to you. Well, at the gas pump, Deb just started preaching to the guy, and he says, "You're for real, aren't you?" Yes, she's for real. She preaches to everything that's moving. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hey, but this is who we are. We have that resurrection power. I sensed it during the praise and worship. I experienced a little healing myself this morning. Thank God for that resurrection power. Amen. Because of the resurrection, we can know that Jesus is personally coming back to judge and rule. He's coming back, and he's going to judge and rule. And that's really good news to all of us. But for people who are estranged to him, that could be a little bit uncomfortable. But because of the resurrection, we can be sure that he will return. The Bible says that he'll return. Listen to Acts 17:30. In the past, God tolerated our ignorance of these things, but now the time of deception has passed away. He commands us all to repent and turn to him. Now, remember what I told you about repent? Don't go get all religious and you're crying at the altar, which, I mean, if you had to cry at the altar, that's your business. But what I'm telling you is repent. Re means go back. Pent is like, what do you know about pent? Penthouse? It means go back, arise back up to God's original plan. That's what it means. Change your mind. It's about changing. You're like, you know what? I'm going to serve God. Or, you know what? This isn't really part of my life. I don't think I'm going to go this way. I think I'm going to do this because I'm believing this is God's plan. That's what repentance is. It's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not conformed with religion, where you get a list from the church of your don'ts. You learn to live from the inside out. Amen. You learn to live from the inside out with the nature of God. Mm-hmm. See, you have some of the nature of your mama and daddy. I went to a funeral a few years ago, and one of my friends was there, hadn't seen me in a long time. Didn't even say hello to me, looked at me and said, "You look just like your mama." I was like, okay, praise the Lord. My mama was pretty. I'll take it. But I'm telling you, we have traits. And one of the greatest traits you have is inside of you. You're powerful. You're safe. You're peaceful. You're joyful. You're protected. You're patient. On the inside of you, you are. Glory to God. Oh, I got off on repent, didn't I? For the appointed day has risen in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. Now, did you get that? He's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has designated. So there's a certain man that has been designated. Certain man. A man has been designated to judge the world. And the proof given to the world that God has chosen this man is this. He resurrected him from among the dead. It's the man, Jesus. He's a man. Now listen, just to be clear. Jesus had a bodily resurrection. I have been to the tomb. He's not there. Nothing's there. But people walking in and out trying to see if he's there, I guess. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he didn't leave his body behind. In fact, after the resurrection, he still had his scars. He still does to this day. He has his scars. He ate fish with the guys. He remember he walked on the road to Emmaus. He was around for 40 days. 500 people watched him ascend. This is historically proven. This is not a fairy tale. He was around for a while, talking to them and preaching to them and ministering to them, helping them catch fish. He was still doing that. Amen. But he bodily ascended to heaven, and he will bodily come back on a white horse. And we will ride with him. Yeah, he's coming back. You have a horse too. Like, I'm scared of horses. You won't be by then. Right now, whatever you're doing on earth is teaching your horse to keep pace with Jesus' horse. He's being trained right now. Amen. Me and Dee like it. Praise the Lord. Is it true? Say, how do you know? It's not in the scripture. Shelley Brim told me. She had a vision. Jesus talked to her about the horse. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But he's coming back bodily. He has his body. He has glory in his veins because he spilled out his blood for you here on the earth. And it went into the quantum world. You want some of God? Breathe in. Just breathe in and breathe out praise. You got some of God. He's omnipresent, but he's also sitting wall to wall on the inside of you.
Amen.
Wall to wall. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But he's coming back bodily. In fact, that should tell you that there should be dignity concerning the human body. Yeah. There should be dignity about the human body. Both the ones we have and the ones we're going to have at the resurrection, because at the resurrection, we will have what's called a glorified body. That's going to be cool. Yeah. But you're going to always be you. You're going to be you. Amen. I'll be me, except my hair will be long like Cerise's hair back there. I can be like that and it'll flow. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Are you 33? So I'll be Danny's age when I come back in my body. Thank you, Jesus. She's Jesus' age right now. Praise the Lord. Now, the fact that Jesus' body, that he has a body, testifies to the dignity of the human body. That's true. You're always going to be you. You're not going to be, now here's my Casper stuff. You're not going to be some disassembled, floaty thing sitting on a cloud, playing a harp, doing nothing. Heaven is as solid as this place. It's just light speed up. Get your quantum on, man. There's 11 dimensions that we know of, and I'm sure more than that. There's a whole other scale of music in heaven. But I'm telling you that you're going to be who you are and be on the greatest assignments you've ever had in your life. But there'll be no one oppressing you, no one stopping you, no harshness, no sin, no nothing. You're going to be free. But you're going to be you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go up to Jeff and go, I think I knew you on earth. No, we'll probably live on the same street. Victory Avenue, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You receive what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you're going to be you. You're going to have face and arms and legs and everything. You're not going to be a floaty cloud. All three members of the Godhead participated in the resurrection, all three of them. The Bible says, here's Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So all three members of the Godhead participated in the resurrection, and all three members of the Godhead are going to participate in your resurrection. So see, when Jesus returns the first time, you're going to go in the rapture. You know that? Like, well, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, I feel sorry for you because you have no idea what wrath really is. It's the extermination of evil. You don't want to be around. I mean, I'm so pre-tribulation, I don't eat post-toasties. Mm-mm. We're going. But then at the end of the tribulation, the graves will come up. And you will meet your body. Or you may, some of you, probably most of us are going to go in the rapture. If the timetable appears to be right, and you can look at the world and tell we have to be close. You say, why? Because it's so horrible? No, because the Great Awakening's here. People are going to get saved by the millions. Once they're saved, the man, Jesus, is going to come back for us. Church, there's a man in the Godhead. There's a man in the Godhead. He's always going to be like us. That's how much he loved us. He's always going to be one of us. That is just so cool. There's a man. It's not like they're gods and we're... No, no. He decided to be like us. That's how much he loves us. You know what Jesus does all the time? You think he's up there going, look at Kevin. I don't know. No, Jesus is laughing all the time. He laughs all the time. All the time he's laughing. He tickles us a lot of times, especially on Wednesday nights, doesn't he? All right, let's finish this. Jesus, this is one I really like. I wanted to get this across to you. Jesus had a first fruits resurrection of ours to come. See, Paul describes Jesus' resurrection as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Okay? First fruits is an agricultural metaphor that points to the initial quality of the harvest. So the initial quality of our harvest is the man Jesus. So the rest of the harvest is going to be just like the man Jesus. Okay? So not only the Father, God the Father raises Jesus through the Holy Spirit, but our resurrection is parallel. It's just like it. You're going to experience the same thing. God the Father will raise us through the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. This is real. This is not a fairy tale. This is absolutely what God's going to do. Paul's saying here the resurrection of Christ and of the believers cannot be separated. It's the same thing. And this is what I wanted to get to here. Let me get down a couple of sentences here, and you'll see the picture. Paul's saying the resurrection of Christ and the believers cannot be separated. Why? Why? Because to extend the metaphor, as surely he was doing right here, he's talking the first fruits of the resurrection harvest includes the believer. Okay? That's what he's saying. But I want you to listen to this. In Jesus, you are already spiritually resurrected. You're already resurrected. The resurrection is not only a future event for us. We're resurrected right now. Right now, we're resurrected. Those who believe in Christ have already been raised to life with him. Paul writes, if you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If you be raised with Christ. He's telling you, we're already raised with Christ. Glory to God. We are raised with Christ. Christians are people who have already been raised. Believers will never be any more resurrected than they are concerning their spirit. So I think we could say it like this. The resurrection is an already but not yet reality for the Christian with their union with Christ. Because you're in union with Christ right now. Your spirit is resurrected. But then one day your body is going to resurrect. And this is your hope, church. Now, you've been hearing this all your Christian life, but it's a good thing to think about. You're not stuck. You are totally in with God. And you're in right now, no matter what the situation is around you, you're in. You're living in the kingdom of God. You're raised right now, and you're going to get another resurrection. Listen, resurrection covers everything. It covers everything, everything, everything. When you die, your spirit's going to go to heaven. That's one good thing. Then one day, by that exact power, your body is going to be raised from the dead. I just really want to see that. That's good. I mean, are they going to come up and go, whew, yeah. I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. But I believe the resurrection is more than that. I believe the resurrection power is actually what makes the seed sprout. People don't even know how a seed really sprouts, except they put it in the dirt and it sprouts. But they put him in the ground and he sprouted. That power. You notice when you sow a seed, it dies to you, but boy, it comes back in a harvest. I just put some radishes in the ground and here they all came up. I put some beans in the ground and they all came up. The watermelon's trying to. But I'm telling you, I put some potatoes in the ground and they're coming up. I'm telling you, you're coming up. You're coming up. You're coming up. You're coming up. And whatever you'll believe on the inside, whatever picture you get of yourself on the inside is how it's going to be on the outside. You start believing you have the favor of God, you're going to see the favor of God. If you think nobody loves me and I'm just going to have to sit over in the corner and blah, 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 no, 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 then that's exactly what's going to happen to you. But I'm telling you, come on up out of that corner. Come on up out of that grave. Come on up out of all that stuff, because God has resurrected you already by the power of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. Dreams can be resurrected. Family relationships can be resurrected. Amen. Whatever it is that needs to be resurrected, Jesus even puts body parts back where they need to be. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Houses are resurrected. Relationships. There's a country that can be resurrected. Our country will be resurrected.
Glory to God.
Will.
Yes.
Don't have any doubt. Well, murmur, 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 murmur. Well, stop murmuring and start thanking God, because we're headed up now. We're headed up. Yeah. Yeah, we are. Because sin is full. Sin is full. This whole corrupt stuff for America, it's full now. So it's going to be judged, but you aren't. You're judged righteous. You're going to sit and watch. 1,000 may fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my left, but it will not come near me. It's a promise. You put your faith in it. Mm-hmm. Well, I tried to believe God one time. See, you can't try. Well, I tried that faith stuff and it didn't work. You can't try faith. You just live by faith. Just believe God. Church, you want me to tell you faith real simple? Trust Him. He wants to do the whole thing. If you'll commit your body to Him, He'll make you well. But you have to commit it to Him. You have to stop medicating yourself and trying whatever and commit it to Him. I'm not telling anybody not to go to the doctor. I'm talking about just using wisdom and not you trying to fix it. Whatever you do, just do it in faith. Do it in trusting God and let the Lord lead you. The same thing with your finances. The same thing with the relationships you're going to be in. You have to just do it all and trust God. And where there was a way in, there's a way out. If you're in trouble today, God has a way out for you. If you're having to live with people that are just a big mess around you, God has a way to fix that. You're like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. You're right. But God has a way. God has a miracle way to do things. You have no idea. He has a million ways to prosper you, a million ways to heal you, way more than a million. He has a way to do it. Listen, people are like, well, you know, Mike Lindell's saying, you know, president's going to get back in there. And the people are going, right. How do you know it couldn't happen? Yeah, but it's all too... No. How do you know that? Because when Jesus died, they all went away crying. Thomas didn't even believe the women. He had to touch it. Don't be that person. Live in faith. Thank you, Lord. God can resurrect anything. We live on that resurrection side, church. And we can experience that power right now. You can experience it right now. All those things that have been trying to block you, they're unblocked in Jesus' name. You have the favor of God on your life. Spy out the land. Pray for the right people to come in. You know, you could actually pray for the right people to come into your path. You probably are here for that reason. Amen.